We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Peter King will join us at the bottom of the hour. We will talk some football as the day goes on as well. Obviously, Red Sox baseball and the ALCS against the Houston Astros that begins on Saturday night, a heavy topic of conversation as well. And to that end, Brock Holt will join us just after 12 o'clock today. And we'll talk to the Brock star about beating the Yankees in the last series and getting ready for Houston in this series and how he felt when he got sat down the game after he hit for the cycle.
What more could he have done in game three? Didn't matter. Going with Ian Kinsler against CeCe Sabathia.
It was as good as it could get, man. Yep. But according to what Alex Cora said yesterday,
all good with it.
He said, yeah, I understand. I get it. They just want to win, which should be the attitude of every single guy in the clubhouse.
It should be. And we'll see if he gets an opportunity against Verlander. I mean, he just might be in the lineup in game one. We'll see.
All right, back to the calls with you guys at 617-779-7937. Ralph's up in Maine. Hey, Ralph.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
What's up, Ralph?
Good. About Price. I've been watching all season.
Okay.
If he gets the right umpire behind the plate, he'll do all right. He hits the corners. He's very fine on those corners. He's got to have the right ump. And I think
the umpire,
he wins when he's got the right ump behind the plate.
He wasn't very fine in game two against the Yankees.
Not on the corners.
Well, I think the ump wasn't calling the corners for him.
Yeah, but he was missing everything by a foot, foot and a half.
He was all over the place.
Well, that's a little too much, but that's what I think. I think he does well sometimes, depending on the elf. So
okay. All right, Ralph. I gotta be honest.
I don't think the choice of ump is going to make the difference.
It's not Angel Hernandez, so that's good news for everybody.
By the way, Laz Diaz isn't very good either, but he might not be as bad as Angel Hernandez.
I hope there's less umpire talk this series than there was last series. That's the hope going.
Well, that
in.
Would be pretty easy.
How many
to have
reviews?
Less.
How many first base reviews are we going to get?
If we get five first base reviews in one game,
awful.
And the umpire misses four of the five, that would probably generate some more talk.
Don't want to see that. But I think David Price's success actually has nothing to do with the umpire. That game against the Yankees, he was all over the place. Walked a couple of guys, didn't strike anybody out. He did not have it. It had nothing to do with who was calling balls and strikes.
Yeah, and he was off by so much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Forget it.
The idea that he's getting squeezed on the black on the outside is
didn't see that.
Not in the last game.
No.
617-779-7937. Cody's in Rhode Island. Hey, Cody.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
So this is what you were about Price. Taking from some dabbles in the gambling a little bit.
Okay.
The way Power Score, the way I look at it is you see that Price, when he starts in the playoffs, his team is what now? 0-10 or 0-11?
Well, his record is 0-9 as a starter in the playoffs.
He's 0-9, yeah.
The team itself loses as lost, 10?
Yeah. Well, yeah, whatever it is,
That trend cannot keep happening. You cannot lose every game. It's nearly impossible. Eventually, come to a game where he's okay and he backs him up.
He's due? So, Cody, you're going with he's due?
So, Cody, would you put your hard-earned money on David Price in game two of this series?
I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that's where the smart money should go, is because again, he eventually is going to run into win. The more he loses, the higher the chance he's going to get a win out of.
You would have bet on him like his last three or four starts in the playoffs too, right?
I almost last game didn't. So that is why, yes, I will on Sunday night put something on there because I didn't pull the trigger last one, which is a good thing I didn't.
Right.
We'll see how
but he's
work.
Due. Yeah. All right, Cody. Thanks.
Due defense.
Yikes. That's as good as anything.
He's been due for a while now.
Here are some of David Price's game two starts in the postseason. Let's just talk about game two because that's what we're talking about here. Of course, this year it was an inning in two thirds, three earned runs. That was a game two. Back in 2016, that was a game two start against the Cleveland Indians. He gave up five earned runs over three and a third. Let's see. 2015, the season before the Red Sox got him, he was pitching for Toronto. In the ALCS, Dale, he actually pitched Game 2 and Game 6, like he is lined up to do here. Let's see how the team do. Oh, they lost both of those games. 6 2/3, though, in each of them. He allowed 5 earned runs in Game 2, and then 3 earned runs, but not good enough, in Game 6 in that one. Also, in 2013...
By the way, if he went 6 2/3 in Game 2 and gave up 3, you'd be dancing.
If he gave up 3, yeah. 5, not as much. And then, how about this nice start? In 2013, he started Game 2 for Tampa against your Boston Red Sox. He went 7, pretty good. Allowed 7. He allowed 7 in that one. That was also a loss. No, thank you for this guy.
No, well, thank you. You've got him. Yeah. Whether you want him or not, you've got him. Jim's in Springfield. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
Guys, it occurred to me that the only reason he's going to start Game 2 is because after Game 2, the only day off you have is the travel day. You don't want to start him, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, because, you know, if he's got to come out in the second or third inning, he's going to patch the hell out of the bullpen with no days off.
Yeah, you're right that you have a travel day after this game if you're into the bullpen in the second or third inning something.
Yeah,
that's the only thing that makes sense.
Okay. I mean, but then, you know, he's going to start Game 6 potentially, and then Game 7's the very next day. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think we're really trying to twist ourselves into a pretzel to make it make sense. And everybody likes what Cora has done. Like, there's very few things you can argue with Cora. And then even if you didn't like it, he ended up being proven right time and time again. So you say, well, maybe this will fall into that category, but I don't know. I think, and the positive stuff we're getting with Price is just because the Red Sox were able to win Game 3 and Game 4. If Price never pitched again in the ALDS, never pitched again, but they lost the series, people would be going nuts about him. They'd never want to see him again. They got to trade him.
They don't want to see him now.
I know, but even still, people are saying, well, this is actually the best time to see him. Like, Game 2 makes sense. You got the day off. You got this. You got that. The ballparks. I'm like, I don't know. There's no good time for him. It's too many games. This isn't a guy that, you know, and actually one of the guys that gets brought up a lot is Randy Johnson. Randy Johnson, did you say Dale was 0-10 or his team was 0-10 for his first 10?
He started out 0-10, yes.
But so you look at that, you go, oh my God, so you can break through.
You could bet against that streak, right?
You could. Well, the ERA was like 3.5 or whatever. Yeah. Like, so it was not 6. Like, that's the thing is he. It's not just bad luck. It's not like he's been out-dueled a bunch. Like, there was the one start he had against Baltimore several years ago where he actually pitched pretty well. I think he went 8 innings, gave up 2 runs, but Bud Norris was on the other side and out-dueled him. So sometimes you get into a pitcher's duel, and that was a time where, yeah, just that box score you would take, but he still wasn't good enough. Gave up a home run, I think, in like the 6th inning, and lost that game. And then some of the other ones, he doesn't even give his team a chance.
By the way, a quick information update for you. I gave you the ALCS umpiring crew.
Yes.
I have the NLCS umpiring crew.
No Angel,
Gary Cederstrom is the crew chief.
One of my favorites.
The rest of his crew will be Ted Barrett, Eric Cooper, Alfonso Marquez, Paul Nauert, and Angel Hernandez.
No. Really?
Really.
Angel Hernandez is getting the NLCS?
NLCS.
What?
You know, Major League Baseball is trying so hard to win this lawsuit.
That is awful. So now,
is it
Brewers
safe
and Dodgers
to say he
it.
Will not be getting a World Series? Can we assume?
I don't think you can assume at this point. If he got an ALDS and now he's in the NLCS?
I mean, we did say yesterday that if he did get an LCS assignment, it wouldn't be the ALCS.
No, you wouldn't have him umpiring
a Red Sox series, two series in a row. But he's working.
No Country Joe West on either
no
one.
No Country Joe West in either.
No, but Angel Hernandez we got to see over there.
Honest to goodness.
So that'll be a story again. That's going to pop up. Because you can't hide him. I mean, well, that's not true. Left field and right field, you can hide him. But
which is where I thought he should have been.
But if it's a 7-game series, he's getting behind the plate.
He's getting a game.
Wouldn't it
be something if he gets game 7?
Oh, God, that'd be terrible. He's going to be behind
the plate. He's not Red Sox fans' problem right now.
He might actually be worse at first base. It's more of a pain in the ass because you're in the flow of the game, and now you're like, oh, let's go take a look. Oh, what? He was out by 2 feet? Yeah, okay, we got to overturn that one.
You see the umpire come back and make the safe sign. Safe. You know.
That is bad. So poor Dodgers
so
and Brewers fans.
So as bad as we thought he was.
He was awful.
And we didn't like him.
And we weren't alone.
We liked him not. We weren't as down on him as CC Sabathia, but we were down on him.
Correct.
And he gets an NLCS assignment. And so, you know what it is? It's Major League Baseball in this lawsuit.
So basically, if you are any umpire, you should sue the league. They're going to try to settle, and then they're going to give you all the plum gigs. Anything you want. You'll be doing World Series for the next 10 years. Sue the league.
Some guy sue and say, you know, they don't have enough New Jersey guys getting plum assignments in Major League Baseball. That's why I'm suing.
Can we sue Major League Baseball and get something? They seem to just give it in.
Give it a whirl.
I don't know what to
Well, they
sue
haven't
for.
Given in on the lawsuit, but no. They've given in on the assignments, apparently.
But so I guess they're trying to go so far the other way to be like, well, how can you prove it? And then he's like, well, I'm getting all these assignments since I sued you. So it's kind of going against, if you thought I was a bad umpire, why would you keep giving them opportunities? Yeah, so that's a strange one.
I am shocked.
Well, the NL can deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not your problem, my problem.
No.
It's not Red Sox fans' problem. But when I looked
it
up, I went, you are kidding me.
Yeah, that's really embarrassing.
Because he was so good in this last series that we're bringing him right back out there. What did we say? Ugh. According to Red Sox stats, he missed 15 pitches.
Yeah, which actually seems really low. I thought it would be more than that.
I mean, the
Benintendi one was glaring.
I wonder if the Benintendi one was the worst because bases were loaded. And
yeah.
I was half afraid Andrew was going to say something that was going to cause Hernandez to give him the heave-ho, but...
No.
He managed to dial it back down just a notch.
I guess so.
He wasn't running as hot as young Rich Keefe was back in the day.
He should have. If he was competitive, he would have said something else to him. But yeah, again, hopefully it's not a story at all in this series, and we can just focus on the actual game. Because these are the two best teams in baseball. This is the series that, even going back to June, July, you were hoping to see, you know, a rematch of last year, but a better Red Sox team with... You know, the winner of this is going to win the World Series, so this is what it's all about.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Brock Holt will join us at the top of the hour. We'll talk NFL football with Peter King coming up next. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI. Time for our weekly conversation with Peter King. Football Night in America, brought to you by Verizon Fios and by Always Health Partners. Peter joining us on the line right now. Hey, Peter, how are you?
What's going on, Dale? Hi, Rich. How you doing?
We're doing great. Getting ready for a big baseball series this weekend, too.
Yeah, can Chris Sale pitch every inning?
I know. We're working on it. We're trying to find... He weighs about $120. Probably not, but... well, let's talk...
Dale, I got to ask you this question. What were you doing during the bottom of the ninth? Tell me exactly what you were doing.
I had gotten up from my recliner position and was sitting on the edge of my chair, both feet on the floor, and was holding a pillow very tightly. It was gut wrenching.
I'm telling you, I'm out in San Francisco with family right now, and I didn't see that much of either game, but I saw the ninth inning, and I had to get up. I was walking around, and I debated whether I could even watch what was going on. It was totally, totally gut-wrenching.
It was that. The Sunday night football game this week might be the best game in the National Football League. They try to make it that way with the Chiefs visiting the Patriots. Is it the best game on the docket for you?
It really is. When I sort of look at games, I look at interesting matchups. And one of the things that makes this such a compelling matchup is that, you know, how many times has the NFL seen, you know, that next big thing, that next great quarterback come in to challenge the great Brady? And here he is. Here he comes. And obviously, the last two times the Patriots have faced the Chiefs with Alex Smith instead of Patrick Mahomes, they've scored in the 40s both times. So this is a weird little matchup. It's a strange challenge for the Patriots because the Chiefs have had their number recently, and you can't say that about many teams. Probably you can't say that about any team in the NFL. And here comes the next great thing, and I think it'll be a lot of fun.
We've asked this question to a lot of our football guests, and the answer is pretty split. But right now, who do you think is the best tight end in football? Is it Gronk or is it Travis Kelce?
Well, if you ask me for one game, who would I take? I'd take Gronk. If you ask me who I would take for the season and the future, I'd probably take Kelce just because I can trust Kelce to stay healthy. So, I mean, it's sort of two questions in one. I still think right now that Rob Gronkowski, both in his ability to be so physical and to be a matchup nightmare. Do you play him with Jalen Ramsey? Do you play him with Miles Jack? Do you play him with both? You know, I think he's more of a matchup problem than Kelce is. But I don't know how many games in an average year from here on out that he's going to play.
When you look at the quarterback play in the National Football League, it is an amazing stat out there. First of all, offenses are up everywhere, but quarterback rating is dramatically up. Tom Brady's not in the top 10 right now, with a number where last year I think he was third or fourth at this stage of the season. Has the NFL just made the determination that, like chicks dig the long ball, fans want points?
I mean, I guess they have. Dale, I think in the wake of last year when the ratings were down and Aaron Rodgers missed the last 9 games or 8 games, whatever it was, I think the NFL said, we're drawing a line in the sand. We're going to enforce illegal contact, and we're going to enforce more by the letter of the law what roughing the passer is. And I think what's interesting about this, I think if you gave the retired referees, the 4 guys who left the game this year, I think maybe with the exception of Ed Hockley, but if you gave the 3 guys who are working on TV now, Triplett, Steratore, and McCauley, if you asked them basically how they would handle this, the roughing the passer thing, I think they would all say, we have no idea because it's a moving target. And I think when a rule is a moving target, it becomes a situation in the NFL where right now I don't think anybody knows what it is. Now, oftentimes, so we'll see what happens in the next few weeks. Oftentimes, the NFL tries in the first few weeks of a season to lay down the law about whatever rule that they're trying to be serious about. And you could say that that's what they're doing right now, but it's not week 9 yet, so we can't tell whether the ridiculous roughing the passer calls are going to continue or not. But, Dale, I think that's leading to it. It's interesting. I spent some time yesterday down at the 49ers with Joe Staley, who I've known for a while. He's a 12-year left tackle, you know, one of the best offensive linemen over the last decade in football. One of the things he said is he introduced the whole, and I've heard this in other places, but not from players, he introduced the whole fantasy football element. That, don't you love it when your quarterback scores whatever the 35, 40 points in a fantasy football Sunday? It makes you excited. And I think the NFL is pretty good with that because of 43 million people every Sunday having some interest in the games because of fantasy football. So I think it's all sort of combined together, but I think I'm not saying the game is irretrievably changed, but I think the game is going so far to the offensive side that if they don't make a correction, I think a lot of these games are going to be like the college football games and end up being 59-42.
Well, then you also get the sense that a lot of these records won't really stand for long. And Drew Brees just broke the passing yards record, and who knows how long he'll have it, but he has it for now. Where do you see him, or what group is he in as far as all-time quarterbacks? That argument has come out whether he's top 5, top 10, or maybe even outside the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, first, I think you have to recognize 2 points. Number one, I really think that we're in the dawn of another new kind of era around the NFL. And that is that quarterbacks are going to take care of themselves better than they ever have been. So along with practicing less, less wear and tear on your arm, and less times getting hit, I mean, Carson Wentz got injured around last December 10, whenever it was. And basically for the next 9 months, he was never hit by another human being. And now he's playing football again, 9.5 months, really. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm saying that that's a little bit different than the way it used to be when teams would practice twice a day in the summer, and almost naturally your quarterback, you'd have a red shirt on him, but the quarterback's going to get hit a little bit. Your quarterback is going to play in the preseason a lot more than they are now, and he's going to get hit in the preseason. And now quarterbacks, I think a lot of them, whether they'd admit it or not, are emulating Tom Brady, I do think that the longevity factor is interesting. Now, let me say one thing about Breeze. You know, Peyton Manning sort of limped to the finish line at age 40. Brett Favre at age 40, I think maybe the heart was willing, but the body wasn't. He ended being concussed and not playing well that final year. He was done. But look at Drew Brees right now. I mean, really, not to dwell on fantasy football, but if you had a fantasy football lineup to set this week, and I don't even know who they're playing off the top of my head, but I don't know who they're playing, but if you had a fantasy football lineup to set this week, you might play Drew Brees. I mean, he is still ridiculously on target. He's going to turn 40 in January. It's not out of the realm of possibility that two consecutive guys age 40 playing quarterback could be MVP in the NFL. So that has changed. So when you say who might break his record, I'm sure someone will, but he might not be playing in the NFL right now because the way the game is now, I think Drew Brees easily could throw for 85,000 yards. All he has to do is be healthy for the next couple of years, and Sean Payton is his coach. As far as where he stands, I'd probably put him lower in the top 10, mm-hmm. but it's a real tricky thing, because then what do you do with Bart Starr, Terry Bradshaw, and all the guys who traditionally you have felt should be there somewhere, you know, 8, 10, 12. Breeze is muscling himself in there.
There's a story in the Daily Mail in London about Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's trying to complete purchasing Wembley Stadium. And according to these reports, the Jaguars have already committed to playing one home game a year in London for several years. He wants to play at least four and maybe even play all eight in London, basing his team in Jacksonville but playing the games in London. Is he serious about this?
I mean, I've heard for a couple of years that he wants to make more of an entry into London. And Dale, a long time ago, this was 5 years ago, he said to me that he was interested in playing two games in London. And that didn't really get that much attention. But in the off season, I think the story that received the least attention but was the most interesting is the fact that Shad Khan was trying to buy Wembley Stadium. Well, look at this. Look at it this way. The NFL has gone into business with Tottenham in building a stadium that can be both an NFL stadium and a soccer stadium, and they can play on back-to-back days, NFL football, EPL soccer. So that is the NFL did that to pave the way eventually for a team to go there. If Shad Khan is trying to buy Wembley Stadium, I think he and everybody there can say whatever they want about how, hey, we're just doing this. It's a business thing. It's an investment. But, Dale, I was a little surprised when I saw that story, but not shocked, because I think any person who is a businessman, who's a business person, would look at the Jacksonville Jaguars and say they could certainly do better financially somewhere else. And to be the lone team in London, whether that even works or not now when they're competitive, I think it's fairly logical. Now, what isn't logical, and I don't think the people in Jacksonville would stand for it at all, is not playing any games in Jacksonville or playing very few games there. And being based there and playing most of their games in London. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Through the first 5 weeks of the season, which team has been the most surprising to you compared to what you thought going into the year?
The Chiefs, because I thought that even though Patrick Mahomes, I thought more probable than not he was going to be pretty good, I had no idea he would be as dynamic and explosive both on the run and in the pocket that he has been. I think they're number one. I think the team that has surprised me in a negative sense is the Eagles, which is kind of logical because obviously they've underachieved. But what has really surprised me is that, you know, this is a team that hasn't scored 24 points in a game yet. And it's clearly, they haven't, you know, done a facelift on their team. Their quarterback is back, and the last 3 weeks you've watched him, he's been okay. And so I guess you say, okay, he's still getting used to playing after knee surgery, and I get that, but they have not been able to do anything well. Now they're without Jay Ajayi. I think Howie Roseman, to try to save their season, could well go hard after a running back like LeSean McCoy. If I were him, I would, because both teams involved in a deal like that in Buffalo and Philadelphia would have been very aggressive in reshaping their rosters. But we'll see. It's just been, I think as surprising in a positive sense that Kansas City has been, I've been that surprised in Philadelphia in a negative sense.
Final question before we let you go. You wrote about the Sean McVay call against Seattle and trying to decide whether to go for it on fourth and half a yard, no timeouts left for Seattle, all of that stuff. And you said it was a gutsy call and a smart move. Back in 2009, when Bill Belichick went for it on fourth and two, you hated the call then. Why the change?
Well, I think we know more about football analytics now. And in my opinion, especially where they were on the field, and he called it 6 inches, I called it a half yard. I think, number one, there's a difference in making whatever that was versus making 2 yards. But I think there's a good chance today I'd have felt differently about Belichick, because I have sort of gone to school on what NFL coaches have done and should have done, especially in the wake of what Doug Peterson did last year, for a very simple reason. If you apply all of the logic to it, and I'd have to, I certainly remember thinking that was an awful call by Belichick. I'd certainly have to go back and think of all of the variables involved. But I think his point was, we can't stop them. So unless we keep possessing the ball, they're just going to go down the field, which I understand. And I do think that, you know, because I use Pro Football Focus a lot, I use their analytics, I think they'd probably go back in time and look at the Bill Belichick call and say, certainly, there was a better than 50% chance that that's the call he should have made, because they would have taken into account the fact that the New England defense probably couldn't have stopped Peyton Manning. And I think in this particular case, because the Rams offense right now is state of the art in the NFL, to get a half yard or however much it was at that point of the game, knowing that, you know, if you give the ball back to Seattle, all they have to do is kick a field goal to win. I do think that it was a risk well worth taking for McVay. And Dale, I think you're right in bringing that up, because I do think that I'd have to look at it again, but I think I probably would have a different feeling now, because I've got some newfound respect for the analytics of the game.
I know you're in San Francisco to meet your newest granddaughter. Congratulations to the entire family.
Hey, really appreciate that, Dale. Good of you to say. And little Hazel June King is a charming little kid.
They always are at that age, Peter. Trust me. We appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All the best, guys.
Take care, Peter. Peter King joining us from San Francisco, where he's meeting his newest granddaughter. Brock Holt will join us in just a few minutes at the top of the hour. We'll get back to your calls in just a moment. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We will talk to Brock Holt about 10 minutes from now. Mike Narachi, who directs the Bruins telecasts on NESN, does such a great job. NESN had a crew in New York, even though we don't have the games anymore, had a crew in New York, obviously, pre- and post-game and all that stuff. And he just posted a video on Instagram. He said he happened to be in the right place at the right time the other night in New York, and he posted a video of Aaron Boone walking down to the Red Sox clubhouse, and they show Boone congratulating Alex Cora, giving him a big hug, you know, and wishing him well the rest of the way. It's kind of a nice behind-the-scenes sort of thing.
Yankee fans are not going to like that.
They're not going to like
they
it
already,
at all.
They already didn't like it. Now he's shaking hands with Cora after
and
the
hugging
fact.
Him.
Hugging the guy? Now, if this was year two of Boone,
I think there's a chance he could be gone. But year one, they're certainly
not going to
bring
get rid of him year one.
No, not year one. But if it was, if he had had a couple of years, I don't know. I mean, it, just like in Boston, the expectation is not to make the playoffs. It's to advance deep into the playoffs. And so they got to be upset with how things went.
One follow-up point. Shad Khan is dead serious, by the way.
Oh, that is so dumb.
They
should take the team away from
him. He is actually investigating now how to limit the taxes he'll have to pay in the United Kingdom, because as he correctly points out, he's never going to be able to get any free agent to go to the Jaguars if the tax hit is so heavy. But he's actually talking about the possibility of either playing all 8 games in London, but basing the team in Jacksonville.
That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
Well, the only thing that's even dumber than the other one, which is base the team in Jacksonville, play 4 games in Jacksonville and 4 in London.
Yeah, that's how I feel. If you put the team in London, but you still called them the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'd never heard of that. That is without question the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You're not the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jacksonville fan base, whatever's there, is going to be completely gone. What a fraud.
Now, he will reportedly, according to ProFootballTalk.com, he, Shad Khan, will make a lot more money for the games that he plays in London than he does for the games in Jacksonville. That's why he's looking to do this.
I don't even know why I'm so against it, but I am so against even playing games in London, let alone a team being based there. It makes no sense. Why do you have to do it? There's not enough football markets in the United States. You got to go over to London. They don't even play football over there. They don't care about football
at
all.
They don't care.
They don't care at all. They have other things going on over there. And they're like, hey, we're bringing our team there. So no player is going to want to play for the, quote, Jacksonville Jaguars and have to play over there. And then you're going to make – so the Titans are going to have to go there every single year, right? And if they stay in the same division, Houston, Indy, every single year they have to go over there. It's awful. And then you start getting into the logistics of a Thursday night game or a Monday night game and all this other nonsense and having to go over to London.
And aren't you going
to,
if a team has to go to London, aren't you almost obligated to give them the bye after they go?
Yeah, and you're not going to be able to do that every time. If they have 8 games over there, that's going to be pretty tricky, I would imagine, on the schedule.
I mean, 4, I guess you could figure it out. He has committed to playing 1 a year over there now.
Which is already 1 too many.
But they said once he finishes purchasing Wembley Stadium and he owns it, he's going to say, well, I can't just play 1 here. I got to play more than 1.
How can you show your face around Jacksonville? Like, you only get 8 home games a year, and then we're like, well, we're taking some of those anyway. Like, and the team's actually good. Like, it was one thing when he first got there and they were terrible, and you're like, ah, whatever, probably not selling out anyway. But the team's really good now. And he's like, we're going to take them over to London. You don't need a London team at all. They're forcing that for no reason.
We will talk to Brock Holt as we're getting ready for the ALCS that begins Saturday night at Fenway Park. Brock joins us next here on Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.